that I love dearly. And every time I'm here, if he's here, he asks me to sing it. And it is, I just ask for you to pray that I make it through it. This is for you, Roy.
Y'all pray for me. This is a new song. It's really older than dirt, but it's new for me. And I told Keith I'm trying to do four things at one time. And if you plug too many things in a wall socket, you know what happens. And y'all know me pretty good. But this song, listen to the words of it. Golly, bum. First time I heard it, I said, wow. That's just like what heaven means to me. What does it mean to you? I know Jesus Christ is there, and he's waiting on us, but we got loved ones there too. That's cheering us on. So come on. It's worth every bit what you go through, any pain, any suffering. But one of these days, all that's going to be gone. It's going to be gone, folks. They sung, when I sat here at the singing, what a day that will be. I can't fathom a day like that. It's hard for this little mind of mine to even fathom what a day that's going to be. But there's going to be no more sickness, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more seeing loved ones part and go on. Praise God, we're going to be with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords forever and ever. And what a day that's going to be. Wow. And pray for me with this. I'm not very good on this guitar.
Yes, he is.
No. I can't see now. I'm teared up. You know, it won't be none of this later when we get to heaven. So pray for me for this song, and listen to the words. Into heaven. I can close my eyes and see. We got the wrong beat to it, brother.
All right. You started out.
There's a window into heaven. I can close my eyes and see. Where there are no earthly struggles. Are set free, where the deaf and dumb are shouting, cause the blind can finally see, and those crippled legs are dancing out across the crystal sea. This is this verse. There's a special place in heaven. Those unborn babies play. They're wrapped in arms by mamas whose chance has slipped away. All those unborn children say, my daddy, he's the king. And their smiles on is always on. The price of heaven is expensive. Don't you worry about the cost. Listen, it was bought and paid for by Jesus. When he hung upon that cross, and all the things that he has promised will be there like he said, as an eternal reminder of the precious blood he shed. Well, don't that sound like heaven? Don't that sound like home? Where the Son of God is reigning, and those tears are finally gone. Don't that sound like heaven? Don't that sound like home? Darkness there is overtaken, and the light is always on. This darkness there is overtaken, and the light is always on.
Thank you. Been great to be in the house of the Lord already. Enjoyed all that singing. I enjoy coming to church. Got some scripture we're going to read this morning, just a couple of verses in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, and verse number 9 and verse number 10, and we're going to be reading really primarily around some of Paul's writing. But I want to preach on this subject this morning, ragamuffin Christians. Now some of you hear that, and you know, well, what in the world is that? Well, we hope by the time I get done, you'll understand what that is. This is just something that has been on my heart. I've been praying about and studying about for a while. And, you know, some people don't think they really got any problems. They don't think they need to repent. They don't think they need to pray. But I tell you what we are. Doesn't this say in that song, Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I know the Lord. But you know, sometimes when we come into the house of God and we're here and we're having these services and the Holy Spirit's moving and we're here and singing and God is moving, not everybody's looking around and enjoying it as much as others. You know, I've been in church all my life and I've visited a lot of churches, been members of different churches. But you know, sometimes people come in and they look around at what's going on and they cannot see themselves ever being a part. They can't see themselves ever fitting in. They can't see themselves ever coming to this place and being able to experience what they see other people experiencing. They come in and they look around and they wonder, how in the world can I ever get my life to where God will really be in control of it? And I want to try to share with you some thoughts this morning. You know what a ragamuffin is? Remember when you were growing up? I can remember my mother would come in and we'd have a dirty shirt and we'd have Kool-Aid. You know, remember the Kool-Aid shirts? You got the shirt on with the Kool-Aid stains and then you go out and get some dirt in the Kool-Aid. And then, you know, when your nose is running a little bit. And they look at you and say, you little ragamuffin. But what is a ragamuffin Christian? Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Verse number 9 and verse number 10. This is what Paul wrote now. This is a man that wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. The man that God called, changed his name from Saul to Paul. One that persecuted the church and killed people because they love Christ. He said, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Let us pray. Lord, thank you for letting us be in your house. God, we look for you this morning. We know you're here, but God, we need you to touch us, every one of us, every person here. God, I need you to touch me as I open your word and I try to bring these thoughts, Lord, in this scripture. Lord, I want to honor you. I want you to be glorified. Lord, I acknowledge that nothing is about me. It's all about you. It's all yours. And if it wasn't for your grace, God, I know I wouldn't even be here this morning. I thank you, I give you all the honor and glory, and we exalt you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what is a ragamuffin Christian? And here's a characteristic and a thought that I want us to understand. Number one, ragamuffins often feel that they do not fit in with a status quo. Well, what do you mean? It means they come into church, and even though they're in church, they struggle to find their place. Because as they look around, they do not feel like they fit in. You know that everybody, when they come to church, you need to have a church home. I believe every person on earth needs a church home and a church family. And I'm one of those that believes that God died for everybody and He would be His will that everybody would, but not everybody will. But what about when you're looking for a home, but you struggle to find it? What about when you come in and you know how it is when you visit? Y'all ever visited one of those places you go and you go in and people look at you. They kind of see you, but nobody speaks to you. They kind of walk by and they wonder, almost like this. I've had them had this happen to me. What's he doing here? Especially if you're a preacher. You know, they wonder, why is he here? So it's not just somebody that's really growing or somebody that's trying to get into the house of God. But they don't feel like that they are accepted. They feel like that people are more skeptical of them than anything else. They might have even heard these hurting words rather than words of encouragement. Do you know that everybody needs encouragement?
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like this. Well, you know, they see you and they see that you're coming to the house of God. And almost rather than welcoming you, they wonder, what in the world is that person doing here? It's like this. You can't be a musician and be a Christian. Well, yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. Amen. Well, you can't be. And I heard this recently. I actually watched a movie about this. Well, you can't be a cowboy and be a Christian. And there was a guy in Texas. He went into a church and he had his cowboy hat on, his boots on. And the people, they looked around at him. So he took his hat off. He went down to the altar and prayed to accept Christ. And a couple of the ladies of the church, they gathered around him outside. And they said, you know, you can't be a cowboy and be a Christian. Well, there are no cowboys in the Bible. Folks, they just didn't know their Bible, okay? A lot of people try to quote Scripture, they don't know their Bible. She didn't know her Bible. But, you know, they come to you and they say, you can't look like that. You can't dress like that. You can't be like that. Rather than looking at the heart of the individual, trying to find out what they can do to help that first person find Christ. You know, first you got to meet Jesus and spend time with Jesus. And after a while, you'll start looking like Jesus. But you got to meet him first. And we need to welcome people and help them in rather than standing in the way of people getting to him. You can't be a Christian and wear that. You can't be a Christian and have that haircut. We've all heard all of those things. Can I tell you that people come in every Sunday that are in that shape, that need to get to where God's at, and I want to be the last one that's standing in the way. But you know that sometimes parents can make ragamuffins. They think they're doing the right thing, but here's the problem. There's misdirection. And I want to talk about that a little bit more, but what about mistreated? What about molested or abused? Being involved with church and being involved with Celebrate Recovery, I'll tell you one of the most difficult things that it is for a person to get over. It was when they've grew up all their life and they've never, especially as a young lady, had a father figure in their life that was an example of godliness to them. Do you realize that the father is a picture in the home? He's a picture of God to his children. And when he doesn't do what he's supposed to do, it makes it very difficult for people, regardless of how old they are, to learn what it really means to trust God. Well, what about misdirection? There's a verse of scripture in Proverbs chapter number 22 and verse number 6 that says this. It says, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, there are a couple of meanings that I want you to see in this. Now, obviously, we train them up by bringing them to the house of the Lord, and we teach them about the Lord, and we believe that if we raise them and teach them, then it builds roots down inside of them that will go with them the rest of their life, and they'll know how and what it means to follow God. But I want to give you another thought. What this actually says, if you begin to look at it and look at the root content, it means to train them up according to their original gift or bent. That means that God may have a gift that he gives your child, and it's your responsibility as a parent, number one, to discover that gift and to support them in the path that God has for them to go. Now, that's the same job as a Sunday school teacher or a youth director. We're trying to help these young people become what God wants them to be. Not what I want them to be. And let me tell you something, parents. Not what you want them to be, but what God wants them to be. Because, yeah, I know they're yours, but they belong to God first. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4, it says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, how many times we tell our children, be your best, do your best. You know, we want them to make good grades. We check those grades, right? You know, I get those grade book reports. I hate it when I get it, confidential grade book reports. That's not good. And I say, be your best, do your best. What about this? What about God's best? Okay? You know, I once heard an example of a young man. He was being spoken to about his children, and he had five children. And this was a response about how they were, you know, talking about how that God had blessed one of his children and he was getting a commendation for him. And this is the response. He said, yeah, God gave me two boys, two girls, and one piano player. You know what the object was? He wasn't proud of that boy. You know why? Because that boy wasn't what he wanted him to be. But let me tell you something. God's got a sense of humor. You know, I grew up and I never touched a basketball. I can't even shoot from the free throw line. I don't know what it is in the mechanics of it. I can't do it. I didn't know how many people it took to play a game. And here I am coming along and God gives me two boys that love basketball. And one of them that loves drums, and I hate drums. And here I am, and I know what my responsibility is to help them be what God wants them to be. You know what a lot of parents' problems are? They try to live vicariously through their children and not allow God to work in the life of their children. Here's something very important if you don't want to make a ragamuffin out of your child, is do not restrict the path that God has for your child because they take a different path than what you want them to take. See, God may have a plan for your child's life, whether it be ministry or it may be that he's going to, or that boy or that girl are going to be in missionary work, but God may be calling them to a different place to live away from you, and you just can't hardly stand it. See, you can't live vicariously through your child. How do you know when people are living vicariously through your child, their child? Y'all ever go to Little League games? I've seen kids balling. I don't want to play ball. Get out there. You are a. And they give them their last name. You're a Smith. Smiths play ball. Then the child goes out on the court. He don't want to play ball. He wants to go home and play the piano. And the man says, my son is not going to play the piano. He's going to be a football player. That can make a ragamuffin. You know why? Because that child will go up never believing that my daddy was proud of me, never believing that my daddy loved me, never believing that my daddy accepted me the way God made me or the way God has blessed me. I want to tell you something. My responsibility is to be God in front of them and to help them find the path that God has for them that they might grow. And as Christians, behave at Little League games, amen? See, ragamuffins often feel that they don't fit in with the status quo, but what about this? Ragamuffins often feel that they don't measure up. They'll often say something like this. Come into church and you look around and say, I can't be like those people. I never feel adequate as a Christian. Or even something like this, they'll say, you know, I never feel adequate as a teacher or as a deacon or as a singer. And they look at themselves and they don't really see that they can ever be like those people. But I want to remind you something, and this is for everybody. If you feel adequate, you're already in trouble. See, because we are what we are because of Him and not because of ourselves. And I think where people begin to get in trouble is they begin to read their own fan mail. You know, somebody tells you you're doing a good job. I heard Charles Stanley say, well, you know, don't try to be so modest that you're pushing people away. He said, just say thank you. But here's what you have to be careful of is you begin to think you're doing a good job. You begin to think you've got it figured out, and you begin to think that you're an example, and all of a sudden you're not where you need to be. You're in more trouble than the ragamuffin. But the ragamuffin, he recognizes and he understands. But why does a ragamuffin feel like he does not measure up? And here's something to think about. When the word is brought and the law is constantly poured on them, it is a constant reminder as they look at the law that they are inadequate. See, I've been in church all my life, and I've been in some of those services, and, you know, a preacher get up, and he'll begin to pour something out, and I can remember many times as a young man being in church thinking, I'll never be able to be what those men are. I'll never be able to get that close to God that I can walk in that path, because the path that I heard presented so many times was not a path of grace, not a path of mercy, but it's if you don't do this, then that. And we forget that it's about Jesus, not about us. You see, strong preaching is simply a reminder of how inadequate they feel as a Christian. The second reason they often feel like they do not measure up is that failures linger over their head. See, the devil, he does his best to remind them of what they have done in the past. But I want to remind you that God has taken all of our sins. In one place he said he put them behind his back. In one place he said, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. In another place it talks about going into the sea of forgetfulness. And sometimes I hear people come up and they talk to me and they themselves start bringing up things in their past. But you know, the devil's always going to do it. He's going to try to remind you of your past failure. He's going to try to remind you of what went wrong. And sometimes it's very unfortunate, but you come into the house of God and the people that should be encouraging you, they're reminding you. But I believe when God threw it into the sea of forgetfulness, he put up a sign that said, no fishing. And that no fishing is for the person sitting beside you, and that no fishing is for you, because his grace is sufficient. Yeah. You see, here's something I believe about God's grace. We had a little conversation around here with some of the youth these past couple of days during D-Now. And you start thinking about it. God's grace was sufficient for every past sin. It's sufficient for every present sin. It's sufficient for every future sin. If you've ever accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you cannot be lost tomorrow. You're born again. See, I don't believe you could be saved and lost tomorrow. That's just the way I believe, okay? I just have to be honest with you. Or what would it take? Some of y'all got lost on the way to church this morning, the way y'all drove. Some of you had already been lost from what you thought about the person across from you. You see, because if you study the Word of God, there are no big sins and little sins. They're all equal. So the ragamuffin, he struggles. Failures linger over his head. Why do they feel like they do not measure up? Another reason is because the Pharisees stand in the way of them getting to Jesus. Now, I want to give you some scripture for that. How is that? See, laws and rules are made out to be more important than the souls of men. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23, Jesus spoke to those Pharisees. And he says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. It says, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, which is judgment, mercy, and faith. He said, these things ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. See, here's how you can recognize a Pharisee. They have no problem declaring the law, but they forget these things. They forget judgment. That means to do justly, to judge righteously. They forget mercy, and they forget faith. See, we need to be careful that we do not discriminate in or upon whom we show the love of God. There's a write it down statement that I've shared with you before. Is beware of men with strong convictions but little compassion. Now see what Jesus said. He said, those other things you should have done, but there are some more important things. Sometimes we're so concerned about the law that we forget about the damage and the hurt that our words do to the hearts and the lives of people. And it's like this when you come into the house of God. Whether you're a preacher, a teacher, whatever your responsibilities are, no one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. See, ragamuffins don't feel like they measure up, but ragamuffins sometimes struggle with victory over self. A ragamuffin is fully aware of the war between the spirit and the flesh. See, if you study the Word of God and you study those that walk with Christ, a perfect example of a ragamuffin was Peter. Every time he opened his mouth, he put his foot in it. Every time Jesus said something, he would either try to contradict him or change it. Peter's greatest battles were just like mine and your greatest battles. Our greatest battles are often with self. Jesus even spoke to him and he tried to get him to understand. He said, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. He said, but I've prayed for you that when you're converted, you'll strengthen your brethren, that thy faith fail not. And when you're converted, you'll strengthen your brethren. A little while later, after Peter had denied the Lord three times, the third time with a curse, after he drew his sword and cut off the ear of the high priest, nephew said, I'm going to go with you all the way to the end. He wrote these words in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now I want to ask you something. What will do more damage in a church? Somebody who comes to church on Sunday morning not feeling like they're worthy because of what they drank or what they touched on Saturday night, but they ease in the back door and they quietly sit down and they feel like a ragamuffin. Or somebody who stands there. What does the Bible say in the book of Proverbs? These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. What? Number one is a proud look. Yeah. Then it goes down and says a lying tongue. He that sows discord among brethren. I'll tell you what will do the most damage in a church is a self-righteous Pharisee that goes around telling tales that's pushing somebody down rather than lifting them up. A ragamuffin knows where they're at. A Pharisee just needs Jesus. Ragamuffins sometimes feel like giving up because they have not gained the victory they seek. In other words, I've been fighting this battle. I can't tell you how many times, me personally, I've come down to the altar and I said this, Lord, if you'll forgive me, I will never. I'll never do it again. I'll never touch it again. I'll never go there again. And you know what happens when I do fail? Because I'm in the flesh. The old devil comes and he says, hey. And if he had his way, guess what? I'd never come back. I wouldn't have come back to church. I'd have been quit a long time ago. But because of the grace of God, what did Paul say? He said, it's by the grace of God I am what I am. He said, I'm the least of the apostles, for I persecuted the church. They sometimes feel like giving up, because they cannot gain victory, the victory that they seek. Well, there's some scripture for that that Paul has pinned down for us in the book of Romans. And I want to try to read it to you. It's in Romans chapter 7 and verse number 14. It says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not, for what I would, that I do not, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am. Ragamuffin. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now, if you're here this morning and you're struggling with any of these things, I want to give you some encouragement. The man who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament understood exactly what you're going through. He said, sometimes the things that I want to do, I don't do. Sometimes the things that I don't want to do, those are the things that I find myself doing. And he said, even though I don't want to do them, sometimes I still do them because there's a war between the spirit and the flesh. But he began to look up and he began to recognize that his hope is up above. It's not here. We'll never be perfect here. But don't quit and listen to the devil. Because you're struggling today. See, as long as we're in this flesh, there's going to be a constant struggle between the spirit and the flesh. You say, well, you must not experience it. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I may have just been walking in the way a little bit longer than you. But I understand it. Paul understood it. But I want you to understand that you can have victory, and there's good news. Ragamuffins. I want to give you two verses in Galatians chapter number 2, verse number 19 and verse number 20. He says, for I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Next thing is ragamuffins understand the need for grace. They understand grace. See, ragamuffins have self-recognition. It's like this. A ragamuffin will never try to pretend or try to act like they're hyper-spiritual or they're better than they are. They might even say something like this. I know I'm not where I need to be. It's like, I know I'm where I am. And the question is, do you? See, ragamuffins are generally not hypocrites. They admit who they are. Well, what's a hypocrite? The word comes from the Greek word Hippocrates, which means one to wear a mask. It's like when you hear a message like this, they'll say, I don't know who he's preaching to this morning, but it's not me. You're a hypocrite. Because there ain't nobody in this church this morning that don't struggle with something. That you don't have to come before the Lord and pray and ask God that he'd have mercy. God, would you hold on to my tongue? God, would you clear my mind? God, would you help me to get in the place that you want me? God, would you get glory from my life? Or you say, everything's good. Ragamuffins not only know they have self-recognition, they also know that they're guilty before God. That means that they're generally not self-righteous. I want to share something with you this morning. Nobody is right about everything. Nobody. And there's really nobody in this building that doesn't have some time that they need to say, don't need to say, I was wrong. Everybody. And sometimes when I look around and I watch the kids play, and I love to watch them play on the playground, you know, and one wants on the slide and another one's on the slide, they'll push them off the slide. Well, they'll cry a minute, and then, you know, they'll have their way, and all of a sudden they'll want them to play with them, and they'll go over and dust them off. I'm sorry. And all of a sudden they're playing again. But what about us? Folks, there's times we need to dust one another off and say, I'm sorry, and say, let's go forward for the honor and glory of God, because everything that happens in this building, it's not happening about anybody here, but it's happening about a king that's sitting on the right hand of the Father that's trying to send us the message that we have but a short time till Jesus is coming back. Ragamuffins understand the need for grace. They know they can't be good enough. You really think you can be good enough to go to heaven? That's what's wrong with a lot of religions today. The other day we had some people come by. And I want to tell you, when I'm at home and I'm not at home much, I love my time in the garage, but I don't get much of it. If I look down the road and here comes the Jehovah's Witness or whatever, I welcome them. Now, I wouldn't recommend that to everybody. The Bible says you give no place to the devil. But the first thing I say, do y'all know y'all going to heaven? You want to start seeing them stutter? They don't know they're going to heaven. Because they don't think they can be good enough. They don't think they can work enough. They don't think they can give enough. You cannot do any of those things and get to heaven. You'll go to heaven because you accept the wonderful, marvelous mercy of God. Ragamuffins are generally those who know. And I just love this saying. It's not about them. Ragamuffin is a Christian whose walk is based solely on grace. Well, who needs grace? A ragamuffin Christian needs grace. And he's going to rely solely upon that grace because he recognizes all these other things in himself. And who understands grace? It's someone who needs grace. Well, who appreciates grace? It's someone who receives grace. And who gives grace? It should be anyone who has received it. Now you think about that. If you're a Christian and your life is good, and you're not a drug addict, and your home is not broken up, and things are going right in your life, don't look around you at other people and say, well, I'm glad I'm not like them. That's what the old Pharisee did, remember? The publican, he went and he prayed, and the scripture said he was not even lift up his eyes so much at heaven, but he just prayed, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Let me tell you something. If you're saved by the grace of God, it's because of the grace of God. Amen. Have we forgotten? It's about him. Now, I want to give you the best example of a ragamuffin that I find in scripture. And it's the Apostle Paul. And I'm going to go back and read the same scripture we start with. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9 and 10. He says, for I am the least of the apostles that am meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. So what is a ragamuffin Christian? And I've heard it put this way. It is the unsung assembly of saved sinners who are little in their own sight and aware of their brokenness and powerlessness before God. A ragamuffin knows he is only a beggar at the door of God's mercy. See, when I look around the church, I see ragamuffins. I see people who need grace. But I also see people who should show grace. So you know that you're a ragamuffin when you're not ashamed to be a ragamuffin. It's much like having the simplicity of a child and the poverty of a child. You come before your Abba Father and you rest in your identity as the beloved of God. And I want to ask him to go ahead and get ready to come and sing. But here's what I want you to understand. If we go to heaven, we're going because of Jesus. Amen. Nothing else. Folks, you know, they talked a little bit about the spring fling and what the church is doing. Here's the point. We're going to spend some money. We're not going to charge. You know how many times we've had people pull in and things going on at the church, and they say, "How much?" Here's what they say. How much is it? We'll say, it don't cost anything. And I'll say, really? And yeah, it takes money. And yeah, you need to give money. And yeah, we're growing. And it's going to cost some money to take some of these walls out. And it costs money to buy 60 t-shirts for D Now and to feed 50 teenagers. Amen. 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 But but you can't give enough money. And yeah, you ought to be like Christ, but you got to meet him first. And then you got to spend some time with him. And sometimes what I hope we can understand as Christians is not everybody's been brought up in church since they were in the womb. They come in the house of God and they don't know how they're supposed to act or how they're supposed to dress. And if you jump on them and you say words that hurt them, they're not coming back. We got to teach them and show them the love of God. Because if any of us go to heaven, it's going to be because of what Jesus did on the cross. And the simple fact that somebody helped you get up and walk down and say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. As they sing this song, I want to share with you that the place you find the love and the grace of God is right here. If everybody would rise to your feet, if God spoke to your heart this morning, the most important thing you'll ever do in your life is accept Christ as your Savior. But if you're here this morning and you're struggling, I want to tell you, you've found a place where people will love you and care for you. No matter what your burden and your heartache is, this is a place you can come and talk to God. And somebody that loves you will pray with you. As you sing, this is your opportunity to pray.
While you wait, stand on his promises. Well, sometimes my life just don't make sense at all. When the mountains look so big, all my faith just seems so small. So hold me, Jesus, 'cause I'm shaking like a leaf. You have been King of my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace? And I wake up in the night and feel the dark. It's so hard inside my soul. I swear there must be blisters on my heart. So hold me, Jesus, 'cause I'm shaking like a leaf. You have been King of my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace? Surrender don't come natural to me. I'd rather fight you for something I don't really want. Take what you give that I need. And I've beat my head against so many walls. Now I'm falling down, I'm falling on my knees. And the Salvation Army band is playing this hymn, and your grace rings out so deep, it makes my resistance seem so thin. So hold me, Jesus, 'cause I'm shaking like a leaf. You have been King of my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace? I'm singing, hold me, Jesus, 'cause I'm shaking like a leaf. You have been King of my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace? You have been King of my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace?
Scripture says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is.
Yeah.
And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This morning, people have diligently sought him. What the devil wants is for you not to believe that God loves you. But he does. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for coming. We're going to ask him just to play one verse of song. Just play a verse of song. We're going to open the doors of the church. If you're here this morning and you feel like this is a place that you want to be, where God's calling you, we welcome you. You say, well, what are we going to do there? Exactly what God tells you to do. Sometimes people come up to me and they say, well, I want to get involved. I say, okay. You can. If you feel like God's calling you here, we're going to open the doors of the church. We're just going to sing one verse. Accept members two ways, one by baptism and then by statement of faith. This is your opportunity. Just walk down to the front. Thank you. got Ozell Robinson here, and he's come. He wants to join the church and be baptized.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I get a move in a second? He'd be accepted.
Move that he'd be accepted.
Move in a second. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Amen. We're going to walk to the back and we'll shake hands a little bit.
Amen.
Ozell.
Ozell. Ozell, God bless you, brother. If you ever met Ozell, the first thing you see is that big smile. Got an infectious smile. Isn't that great? Been coming to celebrate recovery faithfully, been coming to church, and God bless him. Boy, I'll tell you what, isn't it good to see him this morning? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the day. What a day. What a glorious day. God, we thank you for your grace, because without your grace, we'd have no hope. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for this mighty, mighty message that Brother Joe has brought to us, Lord. And like Keith said, it affects every one of us in this building, Lord. And God, we thank you for that. We thank you for pointing it out to us that we're nothing without you. God, we thank you for that. We ask now that you be with us, go with us, and always be mindful that we have someone out there that we can speak a kind word to. And just let them know, we don't care, like Joe said. You don't care how much we know about the Bible or about life until you know that we care. And Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you. And we ask that you go with us. Be mindful that we give you all the glory and the praise, for you are the most powerful one that can save our souls. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.